Guess what day it is.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It is my honor to be able to throw Donald Trump over the top in the delegate count tonight with 89 delegates and another 6 for John Kasich. Congratulations, Dad. We love you.
Good evening. Are you having fun? Melania and I had such a great time last night. An unbelievable evening. Today has been a very, very special day. Watching my children put me over the top earlier. The party seal, I mean, what we did, getting the party's nomination. I'll never forget it. It's something I will never, ever forget.
Well, we know he didn't steal that speech. It's 6:10 in the morning. Yesterday, a bizarre day at the RNC. You sure you want to go?
I'm leaving after the show.
Andrea Darlis on the way to Cleveland today. And in a couple of minutes, John DeCoste will explain the artistic vision he had for Andrea's Cleveland song.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, it's great. If you haven't heard it, we're going to play in its entirety in just a second. I got a couple of pieces of sound I want to play right off the top here. Jake, can you give me the Chris Christie explanation that he's not that sad about his vice presidential situation? Chris Christie's speech last night. The whole thing, guilty, 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 put her in jail, put her in jail.
I agree.
The Democrats, by the way, if the Democrats next week spend the whole week just bashing Trump, if the whole crowd's chanting crazy, 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 it doesn't help either.
No, it doesn't help at all. I mean, I know this is the whole mantra, the whole plateau for both conventions, but weren't you watching last night thinking, can't we have a little unity? Because honestly, we're going to have to, whoever the president is, as Americans, we're going to have to get behind the president. We have to.
Well, we haven't in a while.
We really need to.
We haven't in a while. This is Chris Christie last night.
Did you think that he was going to pick you?
No. I never had a feeling that I knew I was close, but I didn't think I was there. And, like you said, I don't like when people come on a show like this and say, oh, no, I didn't care in the least. I mean, come on. No one believes that. I'm a competitive person. When it was clear that Donald wanted me to compete for this job and to be considered, I wanted to win. Of course you do. But it's not like my lifetime dream was to be vice president of the United States. And so I'm disappointed. No doubt I was disappointed. But I'm over it. Believe me, if I'm over the presidential race, I'm certainly over the vice presidential vetting.
That may be the most honest he's been in months.
Did you believe him, though?
I don't necessarily believe he's over it, but I do respect the fact that he said, I wanted it.
And
I'm disappointed I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Did Mike Pence get mentioned once last night?
I didn't hear it.
Is he actually on the ticket?
He is on the ticket.
I think Mike Pence is in Indianapolis going, are you sure Trump hasn't called?
I actually heard him being mentioned because I watched it for 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah. The lieutenant governor of Indiana was on
endorsing him.
Yes, because he gets his job next.
Oh, that's right. Because McConnell did the nominating speech
right.
for him, right?
Right.
McConnell put his name in the nomination.
And then I was bored and I turned it off.
Yeah.
I thought Paul Ryan did a decent job. I didn't mind.
Paul Ryan did mention him. Couple of times, Pence.
Yeah,
he was like the one guy.
Do you have the McConnell? Remember how tight Mitch McConnell and I were when he was on the show?
You were very close. He signed his book to you and everything.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell from last night as well. Now, this is interesting. This is the home team. This is Mitch McConnell, the Republican head of the Senate, being introduced to this fervent Republican crowd. Listen.
Please give a warm welcome to the Majority Leader of the United States Senate, the Honorable Mitch McConnell of Kentucky.
Ladies and gentlemen.
They're not booing, they're yelling, Mitch, Mitch, Mitch. I was surprised.
You sure?
I was surprised at the boos. I got to be honest. I mean, I would have booed, but that's me. I was surprised at the boos. Once again, I think the Trump kids are the most impressive Trumps.
Completely agree. I thought Tiffany did a great job.
And Melania. And Ivanka.
Ivanka.
And Don Jr.
Don Jr. was good, but I think he...
He's over the top.
He's way over the top.
By the way, he may have stolen part of his speech, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, he was...
But there's a story there as well.
Out of line, I think, with Benghazi, but...
And Eric Trump, was he there last night?
He's tonight, I believe.
Oh, he's speaking tonight.
Well, it's a good thing he's got a lot of kids. He can just space them out and do a couple a night.
Well, and this grand plan that he had, because everything's strategic. You know, Don plans everything, DJ. He planned on marrying all these women and having all these children so they'd be able to be there last night.
Don Jr.'s got 5 kids. Did you know that?
Are they going to speak?
No, they're babies.
What about the other one?
Eric, the one that Don called the douchiest of my my children?
Barron.
Yes. I'm not making that up. He called him the douchiest of my children.
He did.
Sweet.
Oh, that's nice.
Barron doesn't talk. Barron has his own floor at the Trump Tower, and I believe he's just running around playing Pokemon Go.
In his suit.
He's a cute little boy.
There's some more Melania fallout, but frankly, I'm bored with the story. And look, let's go over my two major picks for 2015. Dave, how many wins did I predict for the Cubs last year?
72.
And how many wins did they actually have?
They had 97.
Yeah, so I was just off.
You were just slightly off.
And how many times did I guarantee Trump would not be nominated for the Republicans?
Pretty much every day.
Every single day? Multiple times a day?
Yes.
So if anybody needs a heads up on my psychic abilities, I think we've got a line on them right now. Huh? Right? Right?
No doubt.
Cruz and Rubio are speaking tonight, but Rubio is going to be by video.
You know, I'm trying really. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care about next week either. I don't care about it's much of a political nut as I am. I don't care about either one of these conventions because, as far as I'm concerned, they both represent the worst of America.
Well, I'm glad I'm going then.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I know.
We have to talk about it.
I know,
obviously,
we do.
We'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
Ro Khan is there, and we'll check in with Ro again later. Andrea leaves after the show today. We're hoping she makes it back, but, you know, if not, we've had a good run.
Thank you. I hope to be back on Friday night.
Well, you could end up marrying Trump. I mean, he'll marry you if you get too close to him.
That's true. Oh, by the way, so Melania is going to introduce Trump, or rather, Melania was supposed to introduce Trump. I guess it was kind of a baton thing, like Melania to Ivanka, and then Ivanka's going to introduce Trump. Well, now Ivana is supposed to be doing a video, too. So it's going to be like a baton, you know, handoff.
Why not Marla? Where's Marla Maples?
I don't see her on the schedule.
The second wife, she always gets it the worst. I can't even remember which one was mine because, you know, I've been married 7 times, as you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, this all leads to this. Before we get to the traffic, yesterday, Gary Johnson and William Weld were here in studio. They are the Libertarian candidates for president. They were both highly successful governors in New Mexico and in Massachusetts, and I was impressed with both of them, and I endorsed them on the show yesterday.
Yes, you did.
We're going to play back a chunk of that interview in about 25 minutes, but I want you to hear them. Johnson and Weld. Sounds like a couple of attorneys. One of them is, actually. But they actually are experienced. They're tanned. They're rested. They're ready. And I think you'll be impressed. Pat Brady is in Cleveland as well. We'll catch up with Pat. Pat's the other guy. By the way, it wasn't just me. Pat Brady said it would never happen either. Drag Pat in with me. Kevin Powell later and Mark DiCardo from Los Angeles, because we continue with this theory. It's my theory. The farther you get from Cleveland, the better your perspective on all of this. So we've tried to find somebody as far away as possible, yet still in the United States. Nobody was available in Alaska. So we got Mark DiCarlo in Los Angeles to tell us what he thinks about the convention as well. Later. You're going to be talking to Justin tonight and calling into other shows?
I will. Yeah, I'll be on. As soon as I get there, I'm going
download.
To.
Download?
Yeah, I'm going to get the lay of the land, head right to the queue. And the Q Center. Is it the Q Center or the Q Arena?
Quicken Loan Center. It's called the Q locally.
The Q, yeah. I guess the security lines to get in have been long. So we're going to head right over there, watch the speeches, and then, yeah, I'll be on with Justin tonight, probably Patty, too.
Okay.
And then first thing with us, with you in the morning, of course.
All right, then. John DeCause is here. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Now, we did a song. When I say we, I mean you. You did a song for Andre we're going to play in a second, but you and I have a show coming up with Mike Toomey.
Yes, we do. This is actually kind of cool. Bell Cell Banquets out in Aurora, just west of Naperville. Okay. On New York Avenue, Bell Sal, August 12th, 7:30. Mike Toomey from WG in the morning. You, me, $20. It's going to be a great place to see
$20 doesn't seem enough 20, for this
I know.
Kind of show.
It's ridiculous.
You realize that people are only paying at that rate. They're only paying, what, $6 and a little more for each one of us?
Well, and we chose the 20 because you said you could only afford to pay 20.
Yeah, and then I realized I didn't have to pay to get in.
Right.
$6.67 a piece, I'm being told.
I thought he meant...
I think we're worth more than that.
I was going to say, $20 each, do you guys get out of that? Or
well, it depends on how many people actually show up. Yeah. We're hoping for more than three. Yeah.
But it's a beautiful place. I've been there. It's absolutely gorgeous. So this is a new venue for us. We're trying...
We have not done that yet.
No, we have not.
And for you people in the Western Burbs, I always go, Steve, how can we never do a show
exactly.
out here? Here's your show.
This is it. Okay. This is all these people that have been saying, and this is going to be a little different. You go to Bell Sal Bank. Bellesalle Banquets. And at the top, just click on Eventbrite, and you can get your tickets right there.
And Bell Sal, translated, means buy tickets to this show.
Yes. For $20.
That's why we chose that place.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like the right thing to do. It's already up on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show.
And Bell Sal Banquets.
And Bell Sal Banquets. Bellesalle. Yes. All right, so what was your motivation in writing the Andrea Darlis Cleveland song?
Well, the motivation was Andrea asked me.
Good call.
I did. Good call.
She said, hey, I have this idea. This would be cool. And can you do it to...
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I was out of town and...
Had a little time on your hands?
A little time on my hands. And but I will say, I worked on that a lot.
I was going to say, this is...
Serious bit of writing going
on. This is the genius of John DeCoss, and I know you hate this, but seriously, Steve, Hamilton, how difficult is it? You're rapping, you're coming up with... interesting lyrics, great background vocals by your son Christopher. It's just amazing what you did.
Well, and I did all the songs in Hamilton. I did my entire production, which will be at the Goodman.
And not the Goodman Theater, your friend Chuck Goodman's house.
Exactly. Chuck has a basement.
Yeah, exactly. Here is the song chosen especially for Cleveland and RNC 2016. This is, this is the theme song. We'll have a shorter version when you do your reports, but I want to play the whole thing right now.
How could a party in 1854 when started? Lincoln there for his president, who set the liberal precedent by signing the Proclamation. And now they're floating and bloated in geoparty constipation. We read the tweeted, defeated Carson, Rubio, and Cruz. But nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. The Trumpster, the dumpster of speeches loaded full of smut. They would have been better off with Donald, last name ends in duck. Conventions of Republicans. This is Conventions of Republicans. They can't agree to disagree again. Watch and see, watch and see.
What is the duck line again?
What is it?
They would have been better with the candidate whose last name is
Donald. Yeah, the speech is full of smut. They would have been better off with Donald, last name ends in duck.
Well done by you. Yeah. Well done by you.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Thank you for asking
so
me.
So good.
Andrea.
Oh, thank you for doing that.
That was a lot of
wonderful.
Fun.
Wonderful.
And now, be honest with me, because I have to do another one for the Democratic Convention.
Yes.
What are you using?
I thought you might do that one in Latin. I think that would be kind of cool.
Espiritu Santo. Yeah, I got it.
That's Spanish, but yeah.
Was it?
How about Philadelphia? What's the Elton John song? Philadelphia.
Freedom.
Freedom? Philadelphia Freedom?
Oh, wait. Doesn't Springsteen have a Philadelphia song, too?
Yeah, it's really sad.
The Streets of Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's really sad.
I could just play clips from the movie Philadelphia.
Yeah. No, that I don't think would be a good idea.
Okay.
That doesn't end well.
Nah, do it in Latin. It's easier than what we're suggesting. Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
That was awesome,
to do.
John.
That was actually.
And again, Mike Toomey from Channel 9, because Channel 9 won't be promoting this. They don't promote us. We promote them.
I know.
Mike Toomey from Channel 9 and John DeCoss and I at Bell Sal Banquets in Aurora.
Right.
On when? August 11th?
August 12th. August 12th, Friday night, 7:30. It's early. Come out, go to Bell Sal Banquets, click on the Eventbrite, and get your tickets there.
Well, you can also go right to the Facebook page, right?
Or go, yes, exactly.
Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Click it right there.
Yes.
We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world. world within itself.
6:41 now. Language we all understand. So for a year, people have been going, okay, I get it. You don't like Trump. I get it. You don't trust Hillary. So you're going to vote for her. These guys, this is from yesterday's show. You get the full interview again in podcast. WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app, tune in, and wherever else you get podcasts of the Steve Cochran Show. Today's edition, by the way, 695. So yesterday on the show, Weld and Johnson, Governor Johnson, for background, it was the former governor of New Mexico, Governor Weld, former governor of Massachusetts. And among the things we talked about were police literally under fire. What's your take on protecting cops in 2016?
You know, I spent 7 years in the United States Justice Department. I was head of the criminal division of the Justice Department under President Reagan. So I understand the law enforcement point of view. And obviously, our nation has wounds to bind right now. And we have to do that. But the safety of the first responders has to be first and foremost in our policy.
How do you meld that with race relations?
Well, not using the drug war as an example, not passing legislation that puts police in the middle of public policy that puts them in harm's way.
Yeah, by making cops do things that cops shouldn't have to do.
Making cops do things they shouldn't have to do.
Immigration. We talked about it a little bit with this idiotic wall idea. What's a reasonable way to handle immigration and jobs?
Reasonable way is make it as easy as possible for somebody that wants to come into this country and work to be able to get a work visa. A work visa should entail a background check and a Social Security card so that taxes are getting paid. Background check, we don't want criminals in this country, but make the line moving coming across the border. Right now, you got a line that's not moving, so you've got a mother and her kids that have to cross the Rio Grande to get a job in El Paso, as opposed to her being able to clearly or easily get across the border.
I totally agree. It's a labor force issue, and you know, Canada, for example, has a highly developed guest worker program, and people come to Canada, they work, and then they go home again. No problema.
Right.
And we should mimic the same.
And when you get no quotas on the government side, look, there will either be jobs or there won't be jobs. You get government involved in quotas, and then all of a sudden you got problems again.
Perhaps right. One. Peel back the political agendas involved in immigration and deal with the truth of immigration, what we need, what we don't need.
No, it can be very helpful. I mean, we've been a melting pot our entire
existence. That's the whole basis of the country.
And now they're turning it into a demonization opportunity as opposed to a growth opportunity for the country.
Embrace immigration. We are a country of immigrants. I'm proposing, well, we're proposing lower taxes, lower corporate tax. I'd like to abolish corporate tax. That said, we're going to need millions of immigrants to fill the jobs that will exist in this country that won't exist anywhere else because of a lowered or zero corporate tax.
Another thing we should embrace as a country is free trade. I mean, it's been very good for Absolutely. The country over the decades. American workers have a huge productivity edge over workers everywhere else in the world, and that means that we're going to get high-wage jobs as a result of free and open trade. And the twist that Mr. Trump has taken just recently to argue for a closed economy, no more free trade, let's pretend we're an island, we don't have to compete with anybody, that's just going to shrink American manufacturing. It's not going to protect it.
So, well, Secretary Clinton as well. Secretary Clinton was before it before she was against it. I mean, come on. And the fact is, this is a global economy. You can't put the cat back in the bag. You can't put the snake back in the box. We are an interconnected world economy. You have to have free trade.
Yeah, well, the Trump approach has been tried and failed. I mean, he says he's going to put a 45% tariff on this country, a 35% tariff on that country. That was tried in the 1920s. It's called the Smoot-Hawley tariff, brought to you by the Republican Party, and it created the Great Depression.
Right, because 10 seconds later, China and everybody else gets to put theirs in.
Protecting, how about protecting the homeland, fighting terror, obliterating ISIS, and keeping them from infiltrating our citizens through social media and the like?
The question is how to address this.
Yeah,
well, we've got to be alert to this. I mean,
yeah.
this is very real. That said, how do you prevent a situation that occurred in Nice? I mean, that situation has to exist in 10,000 different places in this country every single day.
You know, when I was head of the Criminal Division of Justice, I had terrorism as well as narcotics. And I proposed recently, after Omar Mateen, the Orlando shooter, that that there be convened a new task force of 1,000 expert FBI agents with experience in counterterrorism who would have a hotline and people could call in. They would collect evidence, clues, if you will, from all over. A troubling part of the Mateen case was the FBI had interviewed that guy twice, and then his name disappeared from the register. Not sure that should have happened when it's someone with suspected terrorist ties, in fact, claimed ties to violent groups abroad. You know,
and if I understand what you're saying we need people who know what questions to ask.
And there's precedent for that. We did it with the organized crime task forces when we were taking out La Cosa Nostra in the 80s, Rudy Giuliani, myself, and other U.S. attorneys. So focus is good. The Enron task force in Texas, that was financial crimes. That wasn't violent crimes, but they delivered the goods. So that's something that can be done by the Justice Department to reach the ISIS lone wolves.
Before I let you go, there's been a ton of conversation this year about the Constitution and constitutionality of any number of things. Where does it fall for you foundationally in your set of beliefs?
Oh, that's a hot button issue for me. My 7 years in the Justice Department, I practically had the Constitution in one hand, and I've suggested that tomorrow, instead of getting out the Art of the Deal and reading it for the 400th time, Mr. Trump should get out the United States Constitution and read it for what would obviously be the first time. A lot of the things he's proposed are inconsistent with our obligations under the Constitution and international law. You know, you can't rip up treaties. You can't unilaterally impose huge tariffs. You can't say, I got my finger on the button, but I think I'm going to send some nuclear weapons to Japan and South Korea. I just don't think Mr. Trump is sufficiently serious about the obligations he would have under the Constitution to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That's a quote.
It's the owner's manual
clause.
It's the owner's manual for America.
It's
and the owners are the people that vote for you.
We are a constitutional republic, and we're governed by laws, and those laws, the U.S. Constitution.
I mean, that's a live issue. Mr. Trump's trade proposals run straight up against the rule of law, which has been the foundation of our economy, both domestically and internationally. It's why we're the envy of the world, is our society and our economy are based on the rule of law.
Imagine that, a literal co-presidency with two of the most successful governors in modern American history, who both want to make America better, and neither one of them need the job. They want to do it for the right reason. I don't know. I'm looking for a reason not to like these guys. Again, if you've already made up your mind, you've already made up your mind. But if you're curious at all, I highly recommend you check out the full podcast and get the full interview on the Steve Cochran Show from yesterday. You should listen to the whole show every day anyway. Check it for mistakes and get back to me. .652, last night at the RNC, Ben Carson. All right, here's the context. Ben Carson brought up that Saul Alinsky was Hillary Clinton's favorite author. Disputable. And then brought up that the foreword in one of, or the dedication page in one of Saul Alinsky's books references Lucifer. And therefore made the obvious tie that Hillary Clinton, therefore, is a tool of Lucifer. Well, at least we haven't gone to extremes.
Does anybody hire speechwriters anymore?
It's just fantastic. And don't think we don't know. You Democrats are just as crazy. When I say we, I mean me. So next week in Philadelphia, I can't imagine what's going to happen next week in Philadelphia. Oh, that's right, a lot of Trump bashing. So Hillary bashing week is this week. Trump bashing week is next week. And even though the Melania Trump stole the speech story is kind of played out, Colbert last night on his show. Well, you know, why don't you just go ahead and listen to Colbert last night on his show from Cleveland on the Melania theft of Mrs. Obama's speech.
My fellow Americans, this is truly the best of times. It is the worst of times. I did not plagiarize my speech last night. I would never do such a thing. So, to those who say I stole my speech, I say, give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. They may be able to take our lives, but they will never take welcome. I am mad as hell, and I am not going to take it anymore. You've got to fight for your right to party. Boom goes the dynamite. Hakuna Matata. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I am loving it.
God.
It's it really, I mean, it's hard to argue with any of those points, and they're all cogent in this campaign 2016.
Well, you can't argue. It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. Yeah.
When she said four score,
Pip,
I didn't even know. I couldn't even do the math on that.
Did you know this popped up on something called the internet yesterday? Millie Vanilli wrote the speech.
Yeah,
well, that explains,
explains a lot.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
At 6:55, we also know today the passing of Gary Marshall, Northwestern graduate, a Hollywood legend, and a frequent guest on the Steve Cochran Show, and a guy I always found to be delightful. And as Gary Marshall put it to me at one point, he's so Jewish he had to be continued on the next Jew.
he was great.
He was a funny guy, a really sweet man. And he'd suffered a stroke about a week ago and had contracted pneumonia in the recovery period and passed away yesterday with family and friends around him. But it's a loss for Northwestern. It's a loss for all of us. He was 81 years old, had a lot of good things he was still working on. And I'll personally miss him from being on the show. We haven't had him on in a long time. And certainly, and Gary Marshall would appreciate this joke. It's going to be really tough to book him now. But I really liked him. He was a good guy.
Yeah, he stayed very close to Northwestern, too. The building, which houses the radio and television department, is named for Gary Marshall.
Ooh, that doesn't come cheap at Northwestern.
No, I don't think so.
I saw the rate card for buying buildings at Northwestern. Mm. Yeah, it's up there.
But he came back frequently. I think
big supporter.
Not as much. Yeah. So
and he loved Chicago. Loved Chicago. So, good guy. All right, 6:56. Let's do this. We'll come back, get your news in a moment. After 7, as a matter of fact, at 7:10, a young man named Rokan, struggling broadcaster, live from Cleveland, day 3. We'll get a Rokan report on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's always helped me be the best version of myself by encouragement and by example. He motivates me to work my hardest and to always stay true to who I am and what I believe. That's what he does. He draws out the talent and drive in people so that they can achieve their full potential. That's a great quality to have in a father.
I've seen it time and time again, that look in his eyes when someone says it can't be done. I saw that look a little over a year ago when he was told he couldn't possibly succeed in politics. Yes, he did.
Rokan joins us from Cleveland. What's our belief in the room? Let's take a quick poll here. I'm willing to go out on a limb and say Donald Trump's kids actually like him.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Probably. And believe in him. No? Yeah. Just like him? Yeah. Stop it like him?
Well, we haven't heard Eric speak yet. That's tonight. Well,
also, it depends on their allowance.
Show of hands, since this is radio, who believes Donald Trump's kids like him?
I do.
Three?
Well,
four?
They probably
five,
get whatever they want.
Who believes Donald Trump's kids believe everything he says? Well, nobody's kids believe everything their parents say. Who believes Donald Trump's kids believe in him?
Who the hell knows?
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
I would say
let's
yes.
Go live to Rokan in Cleveland. I don't know. The kids really do seem to like him. Maybe I should get on the Trump bandwagon. Is it too late for me, Ro?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is the sun red? I mean,
Andre is expecting a plague of locusts to come down Michigan Avenue if I suddenly start supporting Trump.
You know what? I love the idea, though, that Eric is going to go up there tonight and break bad on him. You know what? I just want to tell you something.
My dad called me the douchiest Trump. I don't like him. Remember when he did that? He called him the douchiest kid? That's true. You look it up, man. Look it up. I swear to you. During the campaign.
He called Eric?
He said, Eric is my douchiest kid. Sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah. It's kind of high praise because you think about it, they're all kind of douchey. So it works out sort of.
So good.
Anyway, so last night when we're leaving the convention center, we're walking down. I don't know if you're seeing it on TV. There's like where NBC is and MSNBC. There is like this tiny little street, like an alley street. That's like a festival street. And I'm walking down that street, and we ran into Michael Steele, former chairman of the Republican National Committee. And he
good
sees
guy.
Me
we
from
like Michael.
Be like a great guy. He's going to be on the show today at 3 o'clock. He sees me from across the street, comes over, and he hugs me and he goes, "Are you okay?" This is right after we had covered the historic moment of Donald Trump getting the nomination. And I thought to myself, what a moment. The former head of the Republican National Committee walked across the street to hug me, right, to ask me if I was okay. And I thought, you know what? I'm America right now. He should be wrapping your arms around America and going, "Are you okay? Is the fever breaking? What the hell just happened?"
He's in, man. He's in. He's in.
Yeah.
And any prediction I make about anything should be thrown in the trash as fast as possible.
That's for all of us.
Yeah. It's, look, it is what it is. He's in. He's in. And by the way,
what's interesting, though?
No, I was going to tell you, yesterday we had Gary Johnson and William Weldon here, and very impressive, and I endorsed them, and I also endorsed them for you. So I threw in a Rokon endorsement as well. So, but I'm telling you, those guys, and you can again hear the full interview on podcast, those guys actually seem to be people who could lead this country. Hillary and Trump, oh, man, slow boat to nowhere. All right, back to Roe in Cleveland.
Okay, so what I was thinking about, I'm sorry, I'm very upset, Steve. I've got a lot of problems over here. Well, the thing that I was noticing last night, if you watch some of the coverage, was the whole like lock her up chant. That's a big deal. There's T-shirts all over Cleveland that are saying exactly that. You know what we're seeing here is a frothy support base that is calling for the imprisonment of a political rival. Now, there are some... listen, she has been a mess. This Iranian deal is scary how bad it turned out to be, what the Associated Press is reporting this week. This isn't partisan stuff. This is real. This is reality. But in the meantime, this idea of locking up a political rival, it's a little scary.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
it's
the kind of thing even Republicans say it's scary.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The Republican Party is saying, really... is it Jeff Flake in Arizona? Tweeted out last night saying, "What? Seriously? Lock her up? No, we don't need to go that far." And then Christie wrote it off last night as, "Oh, everybody's just having fun." Yeah. Okay. Look, the whole thing has been just a joke so far, and I don't have any faith that Philadelphia is going to be any better.
No, as a matter of fact, I think that Philadelphia, we'll be there next week, is going to be That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because what I think we're going to see is more street theatrics in Philadelphia than we saw here. This has been amazingly well controlled. Amazingly well controlled. Last night there's like a center fountain in this like town square, center square here. Paul Lind was center square, but this is, I don't know what they call it over here. And there's this fountain, and there were young, they look like college students, white women in their late teens, early 20s, handmade signs, frolicking around in this fountain, essentially. And it was Black Lives Matter. That was what their signs were. And I thought, okay, did someone go on strike? Why are these like 19-year-old Oberlin college students,
right,
co-eds?
Why are the young white girls playing in the fountain with Black Lives Matter signs?
Yeah, maybe they're
It's a big town. Did we run out of angry black folks in Cleveland?
I don't. It was weird.
I thought you were describing like a Baroque painting row with the young women frolicking in the fountain.
That sounds like it.
It was what it was. Except I thought, okay, maybe I get it. I see that maybe the Black Lives Matter people had like a dinner break and they left to go have dinner and they said, "Hey, Mandy and
you guys are up."
Right. Right. I need you to, Tiffany, would you mind holding this for a minute and just running around the pool? We'll be back.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Next week in Philadelphia has the potential to be even essier.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Now, before you go, and again, this afternoon, you're going to kick it off at 3 with Michael Steele. Sandberg and I were talking off the air, and she brought up a very good point. We're both worried about you.
Well, we all are. We all are. My therapist called me 14 times. I keep blocking his call after Trump got the nomination.
No. We're worried about you because of your germ phobia. Oh. You're around thousands and thousands and thousands of strangers. Has anybody touched you?
No. That's why I have security around me to make sure nobody touches. I walk through and they think, oh, my God, it must be a candidate. And no, who is that guy as I walk through the Republican National Convention? I have a space helmet on at all times so that I don't have to.
So you should be easy to find. I'll just look for you.
Oh, yeah,
and
no problem.
The space helmet.
I look like Matt Damon in The Martian as I'm walking through.
Don't Ro
is,
touch
Ro. Ro is setting up such. I can't wait to get there because I'm going to see Ro in a space helmet.
Yeah.
Young ladies frolicking in public fountains in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to be intimidated by 19-year-old coeds, right? I mean, it's just not. No. They're just not going to be, and they're sort of scantily dressed, and they're you know running around, and they weren't even chanting, but there were about three of them in the fountain, and there had to be, I'm not exaggerating here, 150 cops watching them.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah,
you
I bet.
Know, like, all right, we've got this. Clancy, stand over there. I think we got it. She gets away over there. Stand right there.
Circle the fountain. Videotape this for later in case we need it for evidence.
It's.
And if the chant is, it's like Black Lives Matter totally, it's probably somebody that didn't show up at the original meeting.
Exactly.
Volantis will join you later as well.
She's coming out here. I know Andrea's coming out here. I have in my hand right now, Andrea, your Secret Service credentials.
Yes. Hang on to those. Don't give those to any young frolicking women.
No. Okay. Well, I already tried.
Wait till
Hello,
I get there.
Ladies.
Hey, baby.
Ro Khan live in Cleveland.
Hi, Ro.
So you don't have to be. /7:24. Worried about your relationship long term? Maybe you had a fight this morning before you went to work. Apparently, you need to get drunk. With her or him. Brand new study says couples that get drunk together stay together. We'll get to that in a second. Before we get to that, I want to get away from politics for a second for some very important news. A Pokemon Go update.
Oh, here we go.
Pokemon Go, again, is the idiotic game that has raised the value of Nintendo by $20 billion in the last 2 weeks. And this is a game much like I remember when Facebook first started. So it's 2004, and Amy Cochran, my daughter, was a freshman at Illinois Wesleyan. And she, you know, one of her trips home, she said, there's this thing called Facebook. I said, well, what is that? Is that where you fall asleep with your face in a book? I didn't know what Facebook was. And it was specifically only for college students.
Yeah.
Eventually, older people would ruin Facebook, and college students would move on.
It's kind of like how we said in school, oh, there's these things called computers.
Well, computers didn't get ruined, though, by not being cool, right?
True.
Facebook got ruined by not being cool to some extent for younger people.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go, apparently. Mary, did you tell me this, or was it Wendy Snyder? Somebody told me that adults are playing this like crazy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them are playing.
Did you tell me this as well?
I was telling the story this morning that there was a mom when I was biking day before yesterday, and the little boy was standing next to her, and she was standing there right by the lakefront playing it, going, come on, Pokemon, come on. Come on, Pokemon, come on.
Was
widgets.
She trying to catch the monsters?
She was
him?
On her phone. She was going, come on, Pokemon.
But was she doing it for the boy?
No.
Or did the boy look bored?
No,
the
boy was standing next to her saying, Mommy, please, can we go home? Please, please, can we go home? Please.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Samberg, your kids still playing this?
Yes, they are. I'm not yet, though.
What do you mean, yet?
Well, it's out there, possibility.
Really? As a bonding thing? Or you're trying to get the job with Dahl again?
No, but...
Because I can see that working out if you get hooked on Pokemon Go.
Oh, gosh. He probably thinks he's going to do a viral video of him playing Pokemon.
All right, so here's a couple of stories. Police in New Hampshire are using Pokemon Go to catch bad guys. First off, I didn't know there were bad guys in New Hampshire. Authorities in the state's capital city of Manchester released a statement on their official Facebook page, claimed that one of the mobile game's most elusive characters, Charizard, has been spotted in their booking area. Statement on the page alerted people to come see Charizard. Several people with outstanding warrants showed up at the police station.
Oh, God.
They were taken into custody. Oh, we can't help you if you're that stupid. There have been several traffic accidents because of Pokemon in the 2 weeks since its debut. This was one of my favorites. The Baltimore Police Department on the video camera caught the car that smashed into its police cruiser because the driver was playing Pokemon. It was a police cruiser still running, nobody in the car, video camera on the car running. So they've got the video. We should post this video.
Oh, my God.
We got the video of the car running into a cop car as it's parked.
What would make people think it's okay to do this while you drive? Well, in general, but while you drive especially.
I don't know. The attorney's going to appreciate the statement. That's what I get for playing this dumbass game. That's what the guy said.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This one, I don't know if I'm sad about this or if this is sickly. In Bosnia. You guys remember Bosnia? Bosnia-Herzegovina? The old Chechnya, right?
Sure. Yep.
Or not Chechnya, Czechoslovakia. The old Czechoslovakia. They're warning kids who are playing Pokemon Go that there are still active mines from the war in the early 90s. And don't just go wandering into any field. Look up and look for the minefield signs.
Oh, God. Who would think of that? Well, third world countries, obviously.
Meanwhile, it's 7:28. If this is enough to make you drink, hopefully you're doing it with your significant other. Do you and Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, get liquored up together?
We do.
Okay.
All right. Congratulations. Think about it.
Yeah, congratulations.
I would think most couples do, unless one is, you know, and I'm not sober.
I'm not super friendly when he's liquored up, and I'm not. So.
Wait, you're not too friendly when he's looking up and you're... Oh, yeah. I get it. Okay.
He's extra annoying, actually.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
So he gets a little sideways, and you need to get a little sideways to put up with his annoyance.
Yeah, that's where the scotch comes in.
What a sweet, sweet story. Here's the headline. Couples who get drunk together stay together, according to a new study. People are constantly trying to find new methods to figure out their relationship. A study published in the Journal of Gerontology... is my subscription to the Journal of Gerontology current?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Series B, psychological series. Couples who drink alcohol together reported a less negative relationship quality over time. And the results were significantly greater among wives.
Yeah, see what we have to do?
I've got to drink to put up with it.
See?
Dave,
not you guys.
Dave, we know you're a souse.
I was waiting for this.
Yeah. Does Karen drink at all?
Does she drink? Sure, she'll enjoy an occasional drink.
To put up with you?
Not to put up with me in a social occasion.
She'd have to be drinking for days to catch up to him.
See, you've been just resisting.
No.
First, he didn't ask me about the Journal of Gerontology, which I know I know you had to fight the urge.
That's so good. Dave, please. As if you figured me out. The study found that couples over 50 had better marriages if both partners drank than if both partners abstained from drinking. So if you're over 50 and you abstain from drinking, what, do you sit around just being tense? You know, I've never liked you.
I live in a tent.
I've never liked you.
If one person in the relationship remained sober while the other drank, couples were more likely to report an unsatisfying relationship.
That's understandable.
These study results previously reported by Sandberg moments ago.
Yes. Exactly.
But somebody always has to be the designated driver, so.
That's a good
Uber
point.
Mare, there's always. Uber. That's what that's for.
Does your husband, Steve, drink?
Occasionally, yes.
Yeah. How about you?
Oh, of course.
I'm on this show.
I think
everybody
my parents,
on the show
how
drunk
else would
except
I survive
you?
This program?
I don't drink.
That's what I mean.
I don't drink. I have maybe a glass of wine every couple of years.
And DeCoste doesn't
never.
Drink, right?
Yeah.
So
never
everyone's
acquired a taste
for drunk except the three of us.
I know my parents don't talk to each other in the afternoon until they've had a beer.
What? Wait, so in the must, afternoon?
Hold on a second. Again, sweet story.
Yeah.
So they must be really happy, according to this study.
Yeah.
Well, they've been married how many years?
41.
Yeah, it's working out. So this is all being verified. Jake, do you drink?
Oh, yeah, I'm a drunk. Just like Dave. Okay. We just went out.
Oh, yeah, no, wait a minute, Mike. Yeah.
But yet, Jake, you're single.
I am.
Single and available. So I think this has come full circle. If there's a young woman who's interested and is willing to get drunk, Jake is available.
And she must like Chipotle.
Is that right?
Yeah, he eats Chipotle every night.
Okay, well, there you go. He's a simple man with simple pleasures.
He's a catch.
All right, 7:31. So in case you're wondering how to save your marriage, go get drunk. Roger Ailes out at Fox. Looks like it. Announcement could come today. 7:31. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Let me tell you something about risk. If Hillary Clinton were elected, she'd be the first president who couldn't pass a basic background check.
We cannot promote someone to commander-in-chief who has made the world a more violent and dangerous place with every bad judgment she's made.
She lied about her emails. She lied about her server. She lied about Benghazi. She even lied about sniper fire.
And what does the Democratic Party establishment offer? What is their idea of a clean break? They are offering a third Obama term brought to you by another Clinton.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right.
We're not even halfway done. Ugh. Andrea taking one for the team. She's headed for Cleveland today.
I will be there this afternoon.
You just heard DJ Jr., Donald Trump's son, Donnie Jr., from last night, along with Chris Christie, Mitch McConnell, and Paul Ryan. Oh, boy. In a moment, you'll hear from Pat Brady live in Cleveland, who's been there for a couple of days now. Before that, though, Mary, update the traffic quickly, please. All right, 7:46, our friend Pat Brady. Pat, where do you work, by the way?
Next Generation Strategies. Good morning.
And good morning to you. How is Cleveland?
Well, you know, Steve, you would enjoy this. I'm taking a lap around the convention center, and there's a huge group of people, and I couldn't figure out who it was. And then I just, at the top, I saw this kind of hair sticking up, and it was Don King.
Well, he's a Clevelander, and let me go live to Dave on this. Didn't Don King do time in jail for killing a guy in Cleveland?
Was it killing? I know he did time in jail.
I'm pretty sure it was a manslaughter charge. Dave's going to the research department right now.
Let me call research.
Steve, I think it was a couple of them.
Well, it's good because you're in the middle of the Republican Party being murdered right there in front of you, so it's ironic.
Yeah, it was. Yesterday was better, but I'm not sure. And I get the Hillary that is a liar, but I'd like to see some more positive talk, but that's just me.
Has there been anyone at all who has cited, and tell me if this ever comes up at conventions, who has cited a specific plan for making America great again?
Nope, it's just a slogan right now with no real details. Right. But give the Trump kids credit. They did a nice job. I don't know how billionaire kids relate to everybody else, but they did very poised and nice delivery.
Paul Elvis Manafort actually said yesterday that the reason Trump has, and I think this is CNN, the reason Trump hasn't given a lot of details is because they're still building out those thoughts.
Yeah, and that's good to do when you're running for the most important elected office in the world, so I hope they get to work on it soon. Lewandowski spoke to the Illinois delegation yesterday, and he said a lot of things, including that Illinois is in play, and everybody in the room started laughing. But he did say the thing that sold him on Trump or made him think that this guy's for real is when he was trashing John McCain and the people that spent time in the POW camp and doubled down on it, that was a guy that he wanted to support.
Hold on a second. That's what he said sold him on him?
Yeah, that's what that he was a guy that was going to do what he thought he was going to do, and there was going to be no argument about it. It was an odd moment, but that's what sold him.
Even being polite, don't you have to look at him and go, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, pretty much everybody in the room from Illinois was like thinking the same thing. But that's where we are in Trump world. I think that was, to me, a revealing insight of what we're going to be dealing with.
Wow, that is stunning. Now, I thought this week was going to be all show business, glitz, glamour. It's not going to look like a regular convention. It feels like a regular convention to me.
It's totally. I was thinking that walking around the loop, that it's the same convention that I've seen three or four times. I thought it was going to be much more entertaining than it has been. I'm more disappointed there's not more substantive policy talk about what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But it is. It's totally in the can kind of convention.
All right. So what happens today?
More speeches, more of the same. Probably no big fireworks. There's the protests seem to have died down. The convention hall is pretty tame. A lot of people aren't staying to the end, which, you know, in that prime time, particularly Monday night, you want to capitalize on that and build some momentum. But it's just not that exciting on the floor. It's been somewhat disappointing. I thought there would be more excitement. There's not.
I've heard that as well, too, Pat, that there was, I guess, a business group or whatnot. They had just expected an onslaught of diners and people hitting the sites. There may not be many of them, but hitting the sites in Cleveland. And what's coming in is far less than what they had anticipated as far as the economic revenue.
Yeah, I know a lot of the sponsors have pulled out, but give Cleveland some credit. I know it's a tough time for law enforcement, but these police around here and the federal law enforcement could not have done a better job, knock on wood. Very courteous. You feel very safe. But I was walking out of the center last night just kind of by myself, and a big cooler fell over, and the top popped off, and it sounded like a shotgun.
I guess everybody moved on that, huh?
Oh, man. I was waiting for somebody to draw down, but they've really done a nice job. But it's odd in the sense you're just not getting that feeling that we're going to walk out of here and everybody's going to be excited. I think they've done a lot to unify some of the people, but to me, just to be blunt, it sounds like a Tea Party rally.
I laughed until it hurt, and it did a little, when Pat Brady tweeted out, I believe it was yesterday, Wolf Blitzer looks the same from the back as he does from the front.
I've seen a lot of that. A lot of celebrities, guys like Don King and Chachi. I talked to him for a second last night.
So you and Scott Baio and Don King. I'll just go live to Dave on this. Has Scott Baio ever killed anyone?
Not that I can determine.
What about Don King?
Don King, two people. One was ruled justifiable homicide. Mm-hmm. The second one, he was convicted of second-degree murder after one of his employees took money from him.
Wasn't that in Cleveland?
That was in Cleveveland. Mm-hmm. And
he's back in town.
He was later pardoned.
Uh-huh. Sure, of course he was.
For that, and it was changed from murder to manslaughter.
Do you know the old deal about how Don King and Bob Arum supposedly took advantage of boxers?
Mm-hmm.
You know the story, right? The money bag? Like, you go to sign a kid in a gym, a kid that everybody was talking about. Supposedly this happened to Tyson as well. You'd put maybe 20 $100 bills on top of these stacks, and you drop these stacks out on a table, and under the hundreds were singles or fives.
Right.
And you go, this can all be yours. You get the kid to sign with you, and you give him the entire thing, and it's $2,000, not $2 million. Sweet.
Who wouldn't want a guy like that?
Is Don King supporting Trump?
Oh, yeah. That was earlier, a couple of weeks ago. He was supposedly going to be a speaker, but I guess they cut him. He's just walking around. But you know, his hair used to stick up, right?
Yeah.
I think he's moosing it now because it wasn't up like it is.
I bet it's a hot look. I bet it's a hot look that's going to catch on.
Yeah.
All right, Pat Brady. Pat Brady, Next Generation Strategies. Tomorrow when we do our longer form politics stuff, if something doesn't happen today, maybe make a few things up.
I don't mean to be boring. It's just
No. It's not you. It's not you. It's the convention, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll get together, Pat. We'll have coffee.
All right, I'll take you on the lap when you get here.
All right, sounds good. I'll text you this afternoon.
Thanks, bud.
Bye.
All right, we'll come back. We actually have a Trump delegate standing by on hold that wants to straighten me out on a few things.
Uh-oh. Oh, from Cleveland?
From Cleveland,
wow,
yeah.
Cool.
Standing by is a Trump delegate, and they want to straighten me out. I guess they've heard that I haven't been exactly positive on Donald. Well, Donnie J, DJ as I like to call him. Good morning. Are you in Cleveland?
Yes, I'm in Cleveland. This is Brian Bland.
Brian Bland. How are you, Brian?
I'm very good. Mr. What is your last name?
Cochran, Steve Cochran.
Yeah, yes. And you do television?
This is actually a radio show.
Okay, then why am I on the phone?
Number one talk show in Chicago.
Okay, I don't get to Chicago.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm not from Chicago.
No, I understand that. Where are you from?
I'm from Cleveland. I live here.
Oh, yes, you're Ohio delegate. All right, what did you want to tell me about Donald Trump, about Hillary Clinton, about the whole process?
No, they've just been making a lot of stink about the fact that, her lying, and people have been questioning whether or not we're over-exaggerating some of the things that she has done. But you can just go through history, and the list of how she's affected the United States is absolutely amazing.
Do you have some of those points you'd like to make?
Well, sure. Back in Chicago in 92, she decided to have those pylons made out of paper mache instead of concrete that caused the major flood of 1992 in Chicago downtown.
Hillary Clinton caused the Great Chicago Flood of the early 90s.
Yeah, she also, this also goes right into back in 1889, she wanted that dam
made out of matchsticks in Johnstown in the Johnstown flood back in 1889.
All right, Hillary Clinton is not old enough to have caused the Johnstown flood.
These are facts. I'm just listing facts. We've done our research on all of this.
All right, well, continue.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's you can just, like I said, you can go right through it. The go back to the Chernobyl disaster. She had decided at the particular point, we don't need to even take care of that heavy water. Let's just let it go. So,
all right. So Hillary Clinton is responsible for the Chicago flood of the early 90s, the Johnstown flood of 1889, and Chernobyl?
Not only that, she had her the last name. It was Typhoid Hillary back in 1918, and she had that changed legally to Typhoid Mary.
I did not know that as well.
He doesn't think she's responsible for the fire in 1874.
Well, I got to tell you something. You watched the convention last night. You said you saw the speeches. This seems to fall right in line with it.
Listen, if she would have gotten behind everybody having a vacuum cleaner, we would not have had the Dust Bowl situation of 1931.
I didn't even know vacuum cleaners were invented then. I've only got time for one other blatant charge against Hillary Clinton. Do you have one?
Yeah, Black Plague, 1346.
Is it 1346?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Boy, she looks good for her age. Because that would make her somehow around 800.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:13, Dean Richards joins us. Good morning, Dean.
Boy, it's hot outside.
High Friday, 150.
That's what I heard.
You heard McGill say that?
I heard every word.
I don't know why McGill would say it's going to be 150 and then not back it up 10 seconds later.
He's a weather denier. That's what they've been talking about at the conventions, the weather deniers.
I am looking for tinfoil hats in Cleveland.
That's what Donald Trump Jr., I heard him talking about the weather deniers in Chicago. We've got to stop them.
Star Trek has a gay character. Leslie Jones gets some Twitter justice. Bill Cosby's blind. Wouldn't you think his mother would have warned him about that years ago? Lady Gaga's single, and Gary Marshall passes away. We'll get to all of that, but I have exciting news here in studio.
Pray tell.
Joining us now is Sandberg. Sandberg, you have a wedding date?
I do.
Aw.
When is the wedding?
Friday, August 12th.
And you want Dean to be the ring bearer, and I will be the flower girl?
Well, actually, you're unavailable because you and John DeCasse have a show that evening.
So did you just determine the date is August 12th?
That's how
she waited for the
date.
Announcement, yeah.
That's how she picked the date. She wanted to make sure you were not available.
I swear to you, this morning, John was plugging a show, and I look up, and Sandberg's frenetically on the phone. She must have been talking to Pat. She's going, we got to do it on August 12th.
Yeah.
That's the only way we can keep DeCasse and Cochran away from the wedding, August 12th.
She also called your parents and Pat's parents to inform them of the good news.
August 12th.
Well, she could do it in the afternoon. Your
no,
show's
we're getting
night.
Married at 6 o'clock.
Oh.
Well, our show's at 7:30, so we're fine. We're okay.
Why don't you get married at Bell Sol?
Well,
you know what? It's a banquet center.
Yeah.
It's just going to be Pat and I and the kids, so we don't really need a full
You'll
house.
You'll fit. That's not too many.
She's saying she doesn't want any of you guys
We could
there.
Do it on stage there.
No, thank
Pat,
you.
Call,
we're having home
Pat,
run of pizza.
Call Sandberg, get her out of this.
Yeah, you're a minister. Do it.
Actually, this really awesome judge, Deb Dooling, is going to do it.
So oh, you're actually got a judge?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. He can handle the divorce as well, by the way. Is it a he or
Deb
a she?
Deb Dooley.
It's a woman. Deb.
A woman. Okay.
Deb.
Deb Dooley.
Deb's a girl.
No, she really is awesome, though.
I'm
she's
sure
a friend
she
of Pat
awesome.
Brady's.
Are you bitter? You seem bitter.
Am I better?
No, we had the date set before. I was told, you guys had, John had told me someday in August.
Mm-hmm.
And then I already, you know, we have the kids a limited schedule.
Aren't you sad? Aren't you sad that John and I won't be at your wedding?
A little bit. Not, actually.
She's not. She doesn't want you guys there. Mary, I'll see you there. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, you guys can tell me how it went.
This is awkward. Deb Dooley's on our show.
Yeah, she's
going to be on your show.
Yeah, right, Judge Dooley opening for us.
It's dueling.
Sorry.
You're getting
get married. It right for your joke, John.
You're getting married, and the judge's name is Dueling?
Yeah.
Deb Dueling, yes.
Like Dueling as in a fight?
Deborah Mary Dueling, actually, is her name. And when we were telling the kids that we had a set a date, I said, we're going to do it, you know, at a judge, and then we're going to go to a nice dinner. And Patrick's like, Chicago Cut, which is actually where we're going. But to him, that's the nicest dinner. And when I was growing up, the nicest dinner we went to was this place called Dover Straits in Mundelein, which is like...
Like this a kid's
like, right, relish this tray. Kid is like.
So, Dean, are you going to report live from the John DeCoste, Steve Cochran, Mike Toomey show, or are you going to the wedding?
We're going to cover both. I've booked the helicopter.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect.
So we could buzz both
Hey,
of
have
us.
You ever reviewed a wedding?
I do not believe that I have.
That'd be great if you could review the wedding.
I enjoyed the vows, but the first reading lacked.
I've got to give it a Dean's List C. Right.
Flower children, while adorable, stretched out the ceremony, made it longer than it needed to be.
Not as cute as they thought they were. All right, so there you go. The Sandberg family figured out a way to keep me out of her wedding.
And where can we get tickets?
The tickets are $15.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Undercut us on price. All right, we'll come back. We'll go through the list. It's very depressing times for us now. Sandberg's getting married without us. So, God, John, you look so cute in the tiny suit that you bought as well.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But you're still in play for my daughter's wedding next year, though, just so you know.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Mm-hmm. It's not a done deal.
I appreciate you thinking about it.
Yeah,
I just booked a show for that night.
Steve, I have no plans to get married, but if I did, you'd be first on my list to officiate.
Thanks, appreciate that.
Are there complimentary hors d'oeuvres at the wedding like there will be at your show?
That's a good point. Actually, Sandberg's got a 2-drink minimum for the judge. It's 8:18. We got to get
free on-site parking.
That too.
Not that I'm reading from this or anything. I just know this.
It's 8:18. And where do we go to get tickets for our show?
Bell Cell. Go to Bell Cell Banquets.
Or Facebook.com/Steve Cochran.
Click on the little link.
And by the way, if you go to Facebook.com right now, there's a picture of Mary Sandberg and Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet. And it's got a circle and a slash through it because I'm bitter.
Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
Dean rejoins us now. Dean, I don't know how to tell Sandberg this, but, I mean, since I'm not going to the wedding now, I don't have to get a gift, obviously. And I'd gotten her a Chevy, a lifetime supply of Genucel, brand-new mattress for a mattress. And
MyPillow.
MyPillows.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going to come in handy on the honeymoon, but not now.
Not now. Eliminate me. Plus, especially when you know the great thing with me is you invite me, you're almost assured I'm not going to come.
Yeah. How many times do we have to say he just wants to be invited? He's not going to show up.
Bill Cosby has lost his sight.
He's had a degenerative eye disease for some time now, and it has gotten worse over the past several months. The least of his problems, I'm guessing. People close to him say that he is now completely blind. And a spokesperson says, quote, in his own personal hell, as you can imagine, with waiting the criminal trial for the 2004 sexual assault. 50 other women have accused him of drugging and raping, which he denies all the accusations.
Can I be cynical?
Sure.
Play for sympathy?
Maybe.
It's just hard to believe anything, right? I mean, that's all I'm saying. Lady Gaga is single?
At least temporarily. Yesterday, as you know, Steve, the world was completely shocked when they heard the news that Lady Gaga and Chicago Fire star Taylor Kinney had broken up. They've been engaged for over a year. They seemed like one of these entertainment couples that actually was going to make it happen because they were so close. But it was announced yesterday that they broke up. Last night on Instagram, Gaga clarified by saying that they are soulmates. They will always be soulmates, and they're simply having ups and downs like all couples do.
So she's not giving up.
And she says right now they're just taking a break.
Uh-huh.
She asked fans to root for them, said that she's hoping that they can work through the long distance that they have between them and their complicated schedule. She lives in Malibu and is constantly touring the world. And Kinney is here in Chicago shooting the Chicago Fire shows.
If only we had an airport here. You know,
well, it's hard.
And restaurants and housing and plumbing.
Long-distance relationships are hard, Steve.
I heard, and I could be wrong about this, but I heard that part of the problem, they had a huge fight because Lady Gaga had set a series of television fires, causing the Chicago fire crew to go out and fake put them out.
Right.
Yeah. So play for attention.
I knew that there were what may have been trouble when we knew Taylor Kinney was a huge fan of Smoke Tam. For clothing for his fiance, and she was a fan of the Honey Baked Turkey.
Remember when she had the Honey Baked Turkey dress on and she said, do I look fat in this process, mate?
That's going to break up any relationship. Sure. Anybody knows that.
Oh, it sure is. Leslie Jones is the very funny woman from Ghostbusters and Saturday Night Live who happens to be African-American, who was just brutalized on Twitter over the weekend. What's the update?
Yeah, she took a beat, like a just a horrible, hate-filled, awful beating, mostly at the hands of one conservative commentator by the name of Milo Yiannopoulos. Not happy to hear that, Andrea, right?
I know, I just gasped.
Yeah, Milo Yiannopoulos. But anyway, this guy has been banned for life from Twitter as a result of this harassment campaign that he's been leading. Twitter said that people should be able to express diverse opinions and their beliefs on Twitter, but nobody deserves to be subjected to targeted abuse online, to the extent that this has been going. And anybody who's on social media knows that it's anything goes. I mean, there's no consequences. People say the most awful, horrible things. It's nice to see that Twitter is doing something about it. I wish Facebook would also do the same, because mostly they just turn the other cheek.
Why can't Twitter make a rule that you have to use your name?
I wish that everybody had to use their name in some form of accountability.
It's your company. You can make any rule you want. Yeah. Twitter, does Facebook make you use your name?
You can create your own kind of name.
So you could make a fake screen name. I see. You have to use your own name.
Yeah. That's why I use, Long Legs Dean for mine.
Yeah.
Anybody can.
So you can take a physical trait, like one you're well known for, like your long legs.
Right. I don't know why I chose that when I did. I was just feeling leggy that day. get Greeks on the internet. Anything can happen.
It's clearly. We have now
learned that today.
Without a doubt. I don't know. We have time for the audio, but Sulu is gay. Who knew?
It turns out that Sulu in Star Trek is gay. That's what's going to happen when this new Star Trek movie comes out on Friday. The writers of the movie wanted to do something to honor George Takei, who in real life is gay. He played Sulu in the movies and TV as a straight character, but in real life is gay. But they wanted to honor him, so they made the character gay. Something that Takei later said he's glad that there's a gay character. He's not so sure that it should have been one that was established. They should have just brought in a new character. But in this movie, you see he has got a daughter and that he's got a husband. It's a quick moment in the movie and done very tastefully and very
well. Good for them.
Very well, but it's very, very, very nice.
I don't understand George Takei's problem with it. Just an artistic question?
I think he just wanted to keep the integrity of his character.
Oh, please.
I don't know. I don't know.
Just accept it. What was that outburst
what
about?
What is that?
What was that for?
Suddenly Charles Nelson Reilly.
Dean's playing a great Stephen Colbert clip all morning on Channel 9, but I want to get to Gary Marshall because you knew him, I knew him, and just a fabulous guy.
Such
and
a
he
nice
died yesterday.
Guy. Such a really down-to-earth, nice, professional, incredibly talented guy. I've not seen an outpouring like this on Twitter of people in the entertainment business coming out and offering their condolences, but also their love and affection for Gary Marshall. Ron Howard, who starred in Happy Days and went on to win an Academy Award himself as a director, said he was the best boss that he ever had. Learned more from him than anybody else. Of course, he gave us Happy Days. He gave us the spinoffs, Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy. He was the one that developed The Odd Couple from a motion picture into a television show with Jack Lemmon and with Tony Randall and Jack Klugman, and was working on the new version that's
You don't think that killed him, did you? Because it kills me when I watch it.
That may have been. That may have been a part of it. But his movies, Pretty Woman that he directed, Princess Diaries, Runaway Bride, Beaches, the one that he shot here in Chicago that turned out to be Jackie Gleason's last movie, Nothing in Common, which he co-starred with Tom Hanks. He always loved Chicago. He went to Northwestern. That was his alma mater. Was very actively involved with Northwestern University. But most of all, big heart, loving guy, very funny, very, very talented.
Heck of a writer, too. I mean, he wrote all the way back to the 50s on Jack Parr.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing guy. Complications from pneumonia following a stroke. Only 81 years old. That's young.
Yeah, it's too bad. Too bad. Always loved having him on, and I know he did Channel 9 a bunch as well.
Good guy. I love that he was, you know, born in the Bronx, lived most of his life, you know, the like 90% of his life in California, never got rid of his Bronx accent.
Never tried.
Yeah.
Never tried. Embraced it. I mentioned this earlier, but he told me once on the afternoon show, I'm so Jewish, I had to be continued on the next Jew. Love that joke.
He's great.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
8:30, big story next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The state of Illinois cast 6 delegates for John Kasich, 9 delegates for Ted Cruz, and 54 delegates for the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Who's wooing? Do we have an official wooer?
It was Ronnie Woo Woo.
Was that Ronnie Woo Woo? Ronnie Woo Woo to Cleveland?
Yeah.
Matt Strabin is associate professor and chair of Northern Illinois University's Department of Political Science. Talk a little bit about conventions and presidential elections and things of that nature. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
I have seen nothing but nastiness. I've seen no ideas out of Cleveland. Should I have expected more?
You know, I think it's really interesting. One of the things that struck me about, actually two things that struck me about Cleveland. One, and it's hard to get an accurate read on this because I'm not actually in the arena, but there certainly seems to be not as much energy for many of the speeches as you often see at conventions.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, goes to your point, and that is there's a lot of anger at this convention. And, you always see people that come out and are attack dogs. They're obviously always going to go after the other side, but there really seems to be a lot of anger. Even Don Jr., who I think gave a very good speech last night, came across as very angry. And I think that is something that is actually fairly scripted, because if America is angry and they're scared in November, Donald Trump wins. I mean, I think a lot of people argue he doesn't have a chance to win the election. And he certainly right now, if I was handicapping, I would give Hillary Clinton the advantage. But if America goes to the polls in November and they're angry and they're scared, Donald Trump has a very good shot at winning.
But here's my my curiosity about this, because I spent a little time in this world. And if the truth has never been truer that the middle will elect this next president, the middle has to be convinced that there's a reason to pick Trump over Hillary, or in the case of who we had in here yesterday, Johnson and Weld. What are they saying in Cleveland that convinces anybody who's undecided to go for Trump?
Well, I think you could argue that Trump has, you know, he is certainly light on specifics. He's been light on specifics for quite some time. The people that are attracted to him, I think, are attracted to him largely because he is light on specifics in a strange way, right? I mean, he's talked about make America great again. He's talking about battling ISIS. He's tough. He's, you know, and really there's no scratching below the surface. I think that, you know, you're right, that generally the middle voter, the median voter, swings elections. I think what's going to be interesting this time is how much of that middle actually turns out to vote, because you have two candidates who have historically high negatives, especially this time of the year. I think you're going to see a lot of negative voting instead of positive voting. What I mean by that is that you're going to be voting against somebody instead of voting for someone. And I think you're going to see a very small turnout in this election.
Is that right? That's interesting.
Yeah, I do. I mean, even with all the, I mean, we're going to talk about it forever and all the interest and all that. I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be a very high turnout election. And so I do think that the bases will come out and that they'll play more of a role. And I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing Clinton somewhat concerned about making sure she's able to reach out to some progressives and Bernie Sanders supporters as well.
Yeah, by the way, this is I don't want to give Hillary credit for something she hasn't done. She's given no specifics either. And the stuff she has recently locked onto includes free college, which is the one Bernie Sanders tenet that made him rock star, and neither one of them could pay for it. So it's not like she's getting it done either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think you what you find among the American public is you know, just a sense of disappointment, I think, right now in both candidates. I think what, you know, ultimately is going to matter here at the end of the day is, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the convention. And usually candidates get a little bit of a bump, but that bump is notoriously short-lived. And actually, in 2012, Mitt Romney didn't even get a bump, and it was because the Democrats came the week after the Republican convention. I think you're likely to see something very similar here. I don't think you'll see either candidate get much of a bump. And at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about the Melania Trump plagiarism. I mean, I heard, you know, we hear people talking about, well, with the order that the candidates or the speakers spoke, you know, would you have done them different? It doesn't matter. None of this stuff really matters.
Right.
You know, I think what really is going to matter is Thursday night is to see what Donald Trump actually has to say, to see how disciplined he is, to see if he does give more specifics. You know, and I think we'll have to wait and see what happens. I will not be surprised, though, if it's just more of the same.
Because the news cycle has never turned over faster, is there an advantage still to being second instead of first when it comes to conventions?
A little bit, and I think some of that is you get a chance to kind of mute whatever bounce, you know, that might be there. So I would prefer to come second. I would prefer to be able to react to what has already come, as opposed to having to anticipate what is going to come. But at the end of the day, I think really conventions, you know, there are opportunities to try to unite the party, although that's been a struggle on the Republican side this year. There is some evidence that voters become a little bit more informed after watching the conventions. But for the most part, conventions, if you're talking about how is this going to influence the outcome in November, most of the literature would tell you conventions don't matter a whole lot.
One thing before I let you go, because you mentioned bounce, we saw two polls this morning. One showed no change in popularity whatsoever. One showed an uptick of 1% from 25 to 26. This after the announcement of Mike Pence being Trump's running mate. I mean, that's got to be a historical low to have no bounce at all for a VP choice.
Well, VPs generally don't matter, but you're right. They do matter right now. At the end of the day, they don't matter a whole heck of a lot. But, you know, Trump was in a difficult situation because Pence wasn't exactly, you know, a energizing choice. People say, well, he needed to shore up the, you know, the conservatives. Well, actually, if you look at the polls, he's doing best among evangelical voters. So I'm not sure what Pence actually brings to the ticket, but he had very little choice. I mean, Newt Gingrich and Chris Christie wouldn't have been great options either. And many of the A-list, maybe a Nikki Haley or somebody like that from South Carolina, wanted no parts of being Trump's running mate. So I think he was kind of handicapped a little bit in terms of who he was going to choose. And it'll be interesting to see who Secretary Clinton chooses now. There's a lot of talk about Tim Kaine, the senator and former governor of Virginia. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. It should be pretty shortly before we find out who that will be.
Yeah, I was going to say, did she make that announcement Friday to mute any Friday morning talk of Trump, or does it not matter?
Well, generally, yeah. I mean, you could actually go ahead and do it Thursday if you really wanted to do a, you know, some gamesmanship there. But I think you will know the next day or two. I would think it would be Friday. I think that, you know, the convention, the Democrats get to go next. I just don't think you're going to see, first of all, the Republicans aren't completely unified at this convention. I don't think, as you said earlier, there's much new that you're seeing here that is going to rally people to give Trump a huge bounce. And again, saying that, I don't think Clinton's going to get much of a big bounce next week either. So, you know, again, kind of interesting stuff. You're seeing a little bit of the strategy. It's a little bit different of a convention. You don't usually have so many big-time names in the Republican Party staying home during a convention. That obviously makes it a little bit different. But for the most part, it's looked a lot like, you know, any other convention in many ways.
Thank you, my friend. Matt Streb, Associate Professor and Chair of NIU's Department of Political Science. We'll have him back talking a little presidential politics there. Andrea about to get on a plane and go to Cleveland.
On my way.
You sure you're going to go?
I am going to go.
Okay.
Unless I get stopped at the Cinnabon at the airport and
you don't
overindulge.
Cinnabons.
I don't eat Cinnabon,
kidding?
But they always smell good, don't they, in the airport? Not a fan of the
Cinnabon
waft?
No. No, it's just too much.
You like the shoe shine smell?
Well,
better?
You know, it's almost swimsuit season. Cubs Sox series coming up. Special appearance by Kevin Powell next hour. Got three things. You know, three things. It's a semi-regular feature I do where the stories that don't fit anywhere else in the show. So here we are. This still goes to the news cycle conversation. Here we are, less than 2 weeks since five Dallas police officers were killed. Not that long after the Orlando massacre. We're just not talking about it anymore. We're not talking about it.
No, I know.
Here's something else we're not talking about. Takara Morgan, 6 years old, shot while she sat on the front step of her grandfather's house yesterday.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
I know.
Shots came from somebody in a convoy of three cars that turned onto Paulina from 59th around 1 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon! Mm-hmm.
Broad daylight.
The whole neighborhood scattered. Guys playing hoops at 59 and Marshfield duck and ran. Another group, the apparent targets, fled south on Paulina. Over a dozen shots were fired. Takara, 6 years old, was hit in the left side of her abdomen. Now, is she expected to survive? I mean, I haven't seen a condition update. This will break your heart. She runs in the house and says, Granddad, I've been shot. Look, I've been shot. She's six.
She's in serious condition. Do you know how many shell casings were found at that scene? Just take a guess.
No idea.
43.
It's just outrageous.
She's in stable condition, by the way.
It's outrageous. You know, why isn't it? You know, when Mayor Emanuel steps up and talks about kids, you can see the tears in his eyes. Mm-hmm. He talks about it all the time. I know it has to get old, but where's the mayor on this?
Well, of course he's going to condone it and say this is awful,
well,
this is terrible.
Well, but come on, say something. My point is this kid deserves to be recognized, and this incident deserves to be recognized as another horrific turn in the jackass gang stuff that's going on 2 miles from here.
They had a stat yesterday about this story that this is the eighth, I think it's the eighth child under the age of eight to be shot, and I think a 2 or 3 month period.
It's just outrageous. I don't know. You know, we have to figure out what we can do. We have to, and seriously, we have to come up with some sort of plan where this show can help push some action. A 6 year old. Meanwhile, on the other side of the world, Erdogan, the president of Turkey, continues to crack down on those who may have attempted the coup last Friday night. The coup lasted less than 12 hours, and he has now either fired or arrested 50,000 people in Turkey.
How about that?
Turkey is pressing the U.S. to extradite a man named Fethullah Gulen from Pennsylvania, who may have had some role in the planning of it from here. But very dangerous days in Turkey. How about a little good news? You want some good news?
Yeah, let's
give you some good news.
Yeah.
Mental health issues being what they are and the concern about funding for the same, I salute Congress. What? I salute Congress and the House of Representatives for almost unanimously passing the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. It could lead to one of the most significant mental health reforms in decades. The bill passed 422-2. Addressing the problems in the U.S. mental health care system. It was introduced by Pennsylvania Congressman Tim Murphy, Pennsylvania, or maybe even Connecticut. Following the Sandy Hook shootings, it took this long to get it done, but he got it done. The Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act will increase the amount of hospital beds available for mental health patients. This is something we see all the time, where a family in crisis with an adult tries to get that adult, anyone over the age of 21, in a mental health facility for at least 48 hours for a screening and to try to talk them down or get them medicated, whatever the case may be, and they can't find a bed. Mm-hmm. And in not being able to find a bed, the young person comes home and they act out in a horrible way. There was a state representative, I think in Virginia, West Virginia possibly, whose face was slashed when his son tried to kill him. The same incident where he tried to get him into one of these facilities, there was no bed. Another major thing the act does is clarify that healthcare providers won't violate HIPAA laws for sharing certain information with family members. In other words, if you have a kid over the age of 21 in crisis, the doctors can actually talk to you about it.
Yeah.
The significant reinterpretation of the HIPAA laws would allow a parent to obtain information about their child's medical records after that child turned 18. The bill also creates a new federal position, the Assistant Secretary of Mental Health and Substance Use Disorders, to try to push for funding for the same and to make sure that mental health concerns in this country are treated with the same severity that we treat cancer and heart disease and every other disease, because until we get serious about mental illness, we're never going to fix a minute of it. So good for Tim Murphy and good for the House of Representatives.
Isolate wow. that. Look at that.
Holy mackerel. News next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The oldest, youngest man works on the radio. But this is all you really need to know. He will always eat bacon and fries. And he'll only supersize everything he gets from Mickey D's.
Can you tell Kevin's here?
He does all the sound cues right. And in between, he will take a bite of anything that lies within his reach. I'd like to introduce to you, he's disappointing, Kevin.
If there was like an EDM ballad, this would be it. It's like late night club music when you want to actually slow dance with somebody. John DeCostas here. Nice job on the Kevin song. We need an update now.
Chill out room song.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, chill out room.
We need something, though, that is something along the lines of Benedict Arnold. Can you run Benedict Arnold and Traitor?
He is Benedict Arnold from...
Deserter from the Steve Cochran Show. How about Deserter and Dessert?
Deserter and Dessert. I like that.
There's something there.
He's an unloyal son of a... No. Let me think.
Hey, Kev, how are you?
I'm good. I love the song.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Throwback.
How's the road count show?
It's good.
Yeah, I don't
it's
care. So we're still a week away from the Cubs Sox series.
Yes. Which,
and they're doing a little different this year, mm-hmm. right? Back to back.
Well, they did that last year as well, correct,
that's my
Dave?
Point. They yes. did it last year as well.
For the BP Cup or Crosstown Cup. I don't think it's no longer the BP Cup anymore. No.
BP appreciates the plug, though.
And after the first month of the season, all of us were looking forward down the schedule to these four games. Now it's sort of... I think we know how it's going to go because the White Sox are not playing well.
White Sox were playing well.
They started off 23-10 to start the season.
And then hit a huge skid. Then they started playing well again, and now they're skidding again.
And then they lost six in a row, lost 6 of 7.
Yeah. So they were 5 or 6 over, and now they're 1 under again.
Correct. 6 out of the wild card, 9 back in the division, and the trade deadline is looming, so the White Sox have some decisions to make.
I think they're right on the borderline, though, right? You're right on the borderline if you try to put it together to go for a wild card spot or if you break it up.
When you have 7 teams in front of you in the wild card,
so you think they'll break it up?
6 games. I think they have to be sellers. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think
they move
I think most teams in that situation would be. Yeah. I mean, the problem is you hang on to this grasp of hope. I mean, this is this crumb.
Isn't that what being a fan is about?
Well, that's fine for fans, but you have to make, if you're running a team, you have to make decisions based on what's realistic and what you can do.
Yeah, but
big
here's
picture.
The thing. See, this is what changed from when you and I were kids and when John was a kid. When we were kids, we never got caught up in all the minutiae of front office BS.
Right.
And then one day I open up the paper, Kevin, that's a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Open up the paper, and Catfish Hunter had signed the first free agent deal for an unheard of amount of money, $425,000 for one season. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. And everything changed. Now, fans sit around and talk about what the business side should do. How about you just go and expect that they're going to put the best team on the field and try to win a baseball game?
Did you even know the name of a baseball general manager when you were a kid?
Connie Mack.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't pay attention
to
that
stuff. No, you didn't pay attention to anybody.
You didn't worry about contracts.
You knew
your
managers.
Money.
You knew because Billy Martin was nuts. Yep. You knew managers. That's all you knew. And sometimes you didn't even know the managers.
Right.
But you certainly didn't know GMs and assistant GMs.
Scouting directors. But I agree with Dave. I think they have to be sellers here. The past few seasons, the Sox have hung on to the hope heading under the deadline, and it's backfired on them because they play 500 baseball.
So you want them to break it up completely, turn it into a Bed Bath & Beyond? I mean, how far do you want them to take it down?
Well, here's the thing. Chris Sale is obviously the most valuable player on that team in terms of trade value. I don't know if what they would get back for him is what the proper value is for Chris Sale. I don't know if you can't trade Chris Sale.
That's your core. You cannot trade Chris Sale.
I think you can if somebody's willing to give you the right amount of value. I just don't think a team would be willing to give up the amount of players it would take to make that an even trade. So I don't think they will.
So hard to come by.
Right, and they do have one of the most unbelievable team-friendly deals with Chris Sale relative to some of the other starting pitchers.
I believe if they get rid of Chris Sale, that you should be beaten within an inch of your life.
Well, would it be my fault?
Don't you think secretly, though, that maybe they were the, Kenny Williams, that they were pleased that they came out of the gate losing 5 in a row?
because it's like, oh, you know what? They just made our decision for us.
Yeah.
I don't think they were pleased by it, but because they started to play a little better.
They won five of their last six series before the break.
Yeah, and so I think that that gives you that, puts you in that place where you say, okay, what do we do now? But when they, when you get shut out repeatedly, they can't score runs, and that has been a big problem.
And it was a reality check, I think, more than anything. I don't, like Dave said, I don't think they were happy, but it's a reality check, and now they can sort of evaluate the next couple of weeks the trade market.
All right, so the Cubs, are they better? Or are they not better? Because the Cubs going into the All-Star break were under 500.
Better on that stretch. Right. In other words,
have they fixed it since the All-Star break?
Well, the bullpen still needs help, so I don't think it will be completely fixed until they make some moves in when the trade deadline comes on August 1st. So I don't think it's completely fixed, but you saw Jake Arrieta last night, and he was the best we've seen in a couple months. He was dominant. He was like
Nobody
scored. He was getting ahead in counts, and when he does that and he throws his breaking ball, nobody's going to hit Jake Arrieta. So he's talked about timing and little tweaks and things like that. But you know, you look at the starting pitching, Kyle Hendricks, their fifth starter, has the best ERA on the team. So 1-5, the starting pitching has been great. Jason Hamill, throughout his career, hasn't been great in the second half of the season, so it's sort of a wait-and-see type thing with him. But
How is the potato chip treatment going?
The PCP, he's calling it, the potato chip prescription. Apparently, he eats the potato chips, and it's supposed to retain water in his system.
Well, it's salt. It's salt. Yeah, so it's salt treatment to keep you from cramping.
Yeah.
So he'll have a heart attack.
He says it's helping him. He was getting cramps in his hand, his pitching hand.
He's having to have Lipitor brought out in between pitches.
Well, here's a weird thing. They used to catch pitchers with Vaseline. What if you have salt on your fingers?
That's a good point.
What's the advantage?
Or grease.
From the potato chips.
Yeah.
Potato chips.
He goes, hey, I wasn't lubing up the ball. I was having some chips.
I would make them do barbecue chips because that would show up on their fingers.
And they taste better.
Yes. I see this as a marketing possibility. Right next to the rosin bag, can of Pringles.
Lay's are the real greasy ones. Those are probably the ones you want to go for.
Would you guys call them a Cheeto? Get it? A cheater?
Cheater. All right, now who turned your microphone off?
You know what? You did it earlier, Mr. Pun Limerick.
I didn't say that. I didn't do a pun. all right, so the Cubs, we think, are going to be fine.
Yes. I think it's just... Go ahead. For me, it's just how much are the Cubs willing to give up? What's going to happen? There's not a ton of starting pitching. There's not a ton of pitching in general throughout the league to go get, so... I think a lot of things can come into motion when teams that are out of contention start trading.
Well, who's the best reliever that's available?
Well, Andrew Miller, but the Yankees say they're not trading him, but I think that's just part of the Andrew Miller with the Yankees. If you saw him pitch in the All-Star game, he is, if you add him to that Cubs rotation, or even Aroldis Chapman, who we saw hit 105 on the radar gun the other night twice.
He's a knucklehead, though, isn't he?
He's a terrible, he's, yes.
He's a terrible person?
He's Gwen Stefani? Domestic violence.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
And a lot, you know, it doesn't seem like a type of guy the Cubs would bring in. That you know, they have such a positive sort of vibe in that locker room, and Chapman doesn't really bring that. So I don't know if they'd go and get him, but of course the trade rumors are swirling, and people have brought up names like Kyle Schwarber, but I think the Cubs are too in love with him and what he can bring down the road for them to move him. But a guy like Jorge Soler, Almora maybe even.
They have to get these guys healthy, and they have Fowler and Soler out in Iowa doing minor league rehab assignments.
So, I was going to say, what's Schwarber worth? Because you don't know you haven't tested him since the injury.
Right. But I don't think – I'm with you. I mean, I don't trade Kyle Schwarber right now. I mean,
well, you got Matt Mertens sitting in AAA ready to come.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess when you look at that
way – always forget about Matt Mertens. Thank you, Andrew.
I guess when you think about that.
But a guy like Jorge Soler, if he gets healthy, ideally he comes back healthy and plays well for a week or two and increases his trade value. Yeah. That adds a piece to the puzzle.
I would like to see Dan Vogelbach go. Not because I just think he's behind Rizzo. He doesn't have a chance.
He might, John. I mean, I think that's a possibility. I think the other guy that should be close to joining the Cubs is Joe Nathan, who – No one knows until he returns next week. Yeah, so that should help the bullpen if he's, you know, regained.
How old is he now?
30.
I thought he was even 40, 41.
exactly.
So if he's
your best years were with the Minnesota Twins around 2005, is that a problem?
Well, if he's anywhere close to what he used to be, that'll be a nice little bump in the bullpen, because the bullpen has really struggled. So that's to me, going down to the deadline, it's bullpen arms, and maybe even if somehow a starting pitcher becomes available and somebody you can't pass up, because nobody has more pieces to move in all of baseball than the Cubs. They can go get really anybody they want. Mm-hmm.
Can you, since Ana de Vantes is going with Andrea to Cleveland today, and Rose already in Cleveland, can you and Zippity Doodah there, the traffic
Violetta?
Woman, yeah. Can the two of you take over the show?
We can try, sure. Absolutely. You mean completely host the show and just ignore
it? I'm thinking more
Moana?
Of a Turkish coup where it lasts about an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Would be kind of entertaining.
We'll give it a shot. But you've got my back in case it backfires and management's not happy. I can say,
as you know.
Conspiracy theories all throughout the station.
Yeah. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys.
9:23, that's Kevin Powell. And you are Dave Ennett?
Yes, and just a note to help you with your golf game. The director of golf and player development at Northwestern and the president of the Board of Governors for the First Tee of Greater Chicago, Pat Goss will be with us tomorrow at 9:10.
To work on my game?
He's going to work on your game.
Wow.
He's a yips expert. Did you know that?
Why'd you have to say that word?
You have the yips?
You got the chip yips.
Uh-oh, so do I.
Well, why'd you say that word? I don't walk around you and say shank. 9:23. More in a moment on 720 WGN. .927 now. Andre on the way to Cleveland. Don't bring any tennis balls. You played tennis all the way to college, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I love tennis. I will not bring tennis balls. Isn't it weird?
That sounds Dozens of police officers swarmed protesters from the activist group Code Pink outside one of the main entrances at the RNC Tuesday because they were holding tennis balls. Mm-hmm. In June, the city of Cleveland added tennis balls to its list of prohibited items inside a 3.3 square mile event zone surrounding the Quicken Loans Arena. Here's the other thing you can't bring. You can't bring tape.
No tape.
See, I know you like to carry a roll of duct tape with you at all time. You can't bring that.
I'll just leave that in my trunk.
No ducks either. No ducks, no tape, no duct tape. Rope.
Oh, no rope.
No, if you're planning on maybe, I don't know, lassoing a delegate.
Yeah, I'm not going to do
lassoing
that.
Trump for an interview?
Like Wonder Woman. Oh, but then if I did that, he'd have to tell the truth.
That's not happening. No bike locks.
Yeah, I could see that. No bike locks.
Well, they're heavy in metal. I suppose you could hit somebody with them, mm-hmm. Right?
Kryptonite locks. That's bad.
Any step stool that could be used to address a crowd can't have it.
You know, a lot of the TV photographers bring those with them.
Well, they probably have permission, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's part of their gear.
Mm-hmm.
The prohibition did not apply to guns.
Isn't that terrible? Yeah, you can. And wasn't it?
You can have guns inside the zone, but you can't have guns inside the arena.
Oh, thank God, because that's where I'm going first.
The Code Pink protesters used hundreds of tennis balls to mock the permissive attitude towards guns.
Okay.
Well, but police armed with guns and batons quickly swarmed the protest group and gathered up the tennis balls.
Someone put a hashtag on Twitter, tennis balls matter. Hashtag.
Of course, yeah, of course. Of course they did. It's 9:29, and let's take a break, come back. You got a big story for me?
I do, yes, absolutely.
Mark DiCarlo, live from Los Angeles. Remember, the farther from Cleveland, the better view of the convention. He'll be on soon, too, on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
When it comes to the speech, let's actually put this in perspective, and Sam did a really good job of laying the table. We had a 2,000-word statement. We're talking about 70 words, three passages. Okay, and this idea of plagiarism, if we want to talk about it, let's talk to it. Melania Trump said, you work hard for what you get in life. John Legend said, work hard to be anything you want in life. Kid Rock said, work hard to be anything you want in life. Melania Trump said, the strength of your dreams and willingness to work for them. Twilight Sparkle from My Little Pony said, this is your dream. Anything you can do in your dreams, you can do now. I mean, if we want to take a bunch of phrases and run them through a Google and say, hey, who else has said them? I can come up with a list in 5 minutes. And that's what this is.
You thought the convention couldn't get any weirder? That's Sean Spicer, muckety-muck at the Republican National Committee, highlighting Twilight Sparkle from My Little Pony as a defense of Melania Trump stealing Michelle Obama's speech. Look, you can't make it up.
You know, though, it's historic. It could be. It's the first time My Little Pony was ever quoted on a national platform.
I'd actually vote for My Little Pony. At 9:42 yesterday at this time, Gary Johnson and William Weld, the governors of New Mexico and Massachusetts previously, were both in studio, and I announced them endorsing him. I would like you to consider voting for them as well. Go and hear the entire podcast of that interview at WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app, on TuneIn, and wherever else you find Steve Cochran Show podcasts. Joining us now from Los Angeles, because the farther you get from Cleveland, the better you can see it. It's my friend Mark DiCarlo, entertainer extraordinaire. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine. You're my little pony.
Thanks, Steve. That's a great way for me to start my day.
I thought it might be. It's very early in Los Angeles. Thank you for getting up. What are your thoughts on the convention as we go into day three?
It's more of a circus than we could have ever have hoped for, Steve. I think it really shows the American people what a fun, crazy ride it would be with a Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. I've been working my sources inside his team, and I've managed to get a list of cabinet positions. These are people and cabinet departments that Mr. Trump is going to fill should he become the president in the fall. This is leaked. It's not official. I can't say where I got it, but it is an original list. I don't think
this is an original list of Trump cabinet positions. All right, who you got?
Well, first of all, he'll reveal this Thursday night when he speaks. Because he is such a good businessman, what he's doing is instead of having cabinet positions, he has sold naming rights to the positions now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it used to be, John Kerry right now is the Secretary of State with the Department of State.
Yeah.
That now, under Trump administration, would be the Department of State Farm.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So what about, say, do you have one for the Secretary of the Interior, the Secretary of Defense?
Yes. Well, the Department of State Farm, the person he's going to put forward for that is Flo from Progressive.
Okay. Seen good, those commercials. Good, good. Yeah, yeah.
Department of Interior Design is going to be Jeff Lewis from the Bravo show.
Makes total sense.
Interior Therapy.
Makes total sense.
Department of Homeland Security is now going to be the Department of Home Depot Land Security.
That's nice. And do we get the kid who shows me what aisle it is but doesn't tell me where it is?
Yes, and he'll be wearing an orange smock in the meetings instead of just a regular suit, because that's boring.
Sure, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Department of Labor Day is now what the Department of Labor used to be, and it'll be someone who actually only works 4 days a week the entire 4 years.
Is that right? So yeah. they would have quite a schedule. Oh, listen, I love this idea. So you'd have product placement, I'm sure?
Right. Department of Transportation will now be the Department of Transformers. Department of Energy is now... Yes. Going to be the Department of Energy Drinks, actually be the Department of Gatorade is what they're going to call it.
Oh, see, I heard it's going to be the 5-hour Department of Energy.
Oh, you know what? That would have been better. Wait a minute. No, that's what it says. I just couldn't read it here because this list was snuck out of Trump headquarters in the
sure.
middle of the night.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have any others on your list there?
No, actually, I don't. But I do have breaking news. I don't know what you can do with this, but Caitlyn Jenner... Uh-huh. is holding an event today at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And you thought Cleveland hadn't seen enough big stars. First Scott Baio, then Caitlyn Jenner.
Don't forget Antonio Sabato Jr.
Yes, try that. Try that with the fusilli pasta.
Speaking of Scott Baio, didn't he look comfortable? I always find that when someone is speaking, for 5, 6, 7 minutes making a speech, and they can stop themselves from blinking the entire time, it makes you feel comfortable.
He looked like he was being forced to have a root canal against his will.
Well, I heard his kids were being held hostage at Trump Tower,
And unless he delivered that speech, he wasn't going to get them back.
You know, because he might have been
under a lot of pressure.
That's a movie. Yeah. That's a movie. The candidate holds your kids hostage and forces you to endorse them.
Although he might have been nervous. It's only been, what, 30 years since the Joni Loves Chachi reunion special?
Yeah.
On ABC?
True.
So you're looking at this as a campaign boost for him.
Kinda, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Department of Veterans Affairs is going to be headed by General David Petraeus.
Because there's an affair that he had. I see what happened there.
And you know how we have the Department of Education?
Yeah.
We're not going to have that anymore.
Okay, all right.
You don't need it.
So there you go.
Mr. Trump loves the poorly educated, so it's going to be the Department of Poorly Educated.
Listen, if this doesn't prove that you can see Cleveland better the farther you get away, then I don't know what does. Live from Los Angeles. Oh, you do it.
From Los Angeles, Mark DiCarlo reporting on the Trump campaign.
Why don't you do it when you say on the Steve Cochran Show?
The what?
It's 9:48. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
How about that whole deal?
It just doesn't get any better. Hey, them 2 Corinthians. That's the whole deal, right? That's the whole schmear. The 2 Corinthians. The Republican convention continues. The whole thing about Melania Trump's speech is it's over. But last night on the Colbert Show, they did a nice piece. I think we played that earlier. Can we put that up? We can link that, can't we, on Twitter, on Facebook? Here's what I'd like to play. I'd like you to pull up the Andrea Cleveland song one more time before we send her off to Cleveland. When you get to Cleveland, what time is your flight?
I'm sorry. My flight is, I believe, at 12:45. So I'll be there in an hour. It's a quickie flight.
Yeah, so you're there at 2:45 in Cleveland time. And when you get there, you're going to hook up with Pat Brady.
Yes.
And also Ro Khan.
And Ro. Yeah, Ro and Jeff, they've been calling me the whole show, let me just tell you.
You had a story earlier.
I didn't want to bring that up.
You had a story earlier that we were going to get to, and we got like a minute or two.
Yeah, real quick, we can do this.
These are musicians that are angry. Now, a bunch of musicians are angry at Trump. Trump's the all-time leader in angering musicians?
Trump is the all-time leader in angering artists who don't want him to use their music. And it came up with Queen the other night because they played We Are the Champions he was in that Silhouette. Neil Young also asked Trump to stop playing Rockin' in the Free World. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, remember, he asked Trump to stop playing Dream On.
Mm-hmm.
R.E.M. asked Trump to stop playing It's the End of the World as We Know It. And this is really the big one. Allie Willis.
Who's Allie Willis?
Remember, Allie Willis wrote the Karate Kid theme, You're the Best. She's also asked Trump to stop playing her song.
But in Trump's defense, this has happened before.
It has, yeah. Four separate times.
All right, so who else was upset?
1984, Bruce Springsteen didn't want Ronald Reagan to use Born in the USA.
Yeah, Born in the USA. Remember, the Reagan people got it wrong. They thought it was like this big patriotic song. It was actually kind of a protest song. A
little bit, yeah. 1988, Bobby McFerrin didn't want H.W. Bush playing Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Okay.
Your brother in sound, Isaac Hayes,
oh, yeah,
objected in 1996 to Bob Dole. Remember, he turned Soul Man into I'm a Dole Man.
I don't remember that, but that makes total sense.
Agree. 2000, Sting didn't want Al Gore to play Brand New Day.
Oh, that's a good song. Do you remember the lyrics? Brand New Day.
And 2012, Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine spoke out about Paul Ryan apparently playing some sort of rage song, which I can't quite picture that.
You're the rock chick. You're supposed to know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I want you to have a safe trip to Cleveland, and we want to send you off one more time.
Okay.
Speaking of music, with the John DeCoste song written for this special campaign trip. You'll be in Philly next week.
Be in Philly next week,
yeah. But it all starts with Cleveland today.
Yeah.
How could a party in 1854 when started? Lincoln there first president, who set the liberal precedent by signing the proc emancipation. And now they're floating and bloated in geoparty constipation. We read the tweeted, defeated Carson, Rubio, and Cruz. But nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. The Trumpster, the dumpster of speeches loaded full of smut. They would have been better off with Donald, last name Ensign Duck.
Conventions of Republicans. This is Conventions of Republicans. They can't agree to disagree again. Watch and see. Watch and see.
Pretty good, huh? Pretty good.
He's the best.
Pretty good. Of course, John and I are still working on our musical, Millard, about the life and times of Millard Fillmore. We can't figure out anything that rhymes with Millard other than former governor's candidate Kirk Dillard. And that's so far, Dillard hasn't returned my call to see if he wants to be in it.
I can see why.
All right, before we go, and we will next, you can join John DeCosta, you just heard, and me, and Mike Toomey, at Bell Sal Banquets in Aurora, Illinois, doing stand-up comedy the night that Mary Sandberg gets married. It's Friday, August 12th at 7:30. Mike Toomey, John DeCosta, and me. Tickets are only $20. I don't know who's producing these shows. Must be DeCosta. But for $20, you can come out and have a great night of laughs at Bell Sal Banquets in Aurora. You go to Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. There's a link right there for Eventbrite to get your tickets, and we hope you will. Bill and Wendy are next.